Thanks for joining us, and welcome to the Stonebridge Church Podcast. Here at Stonebridge, our goal is to lead people into a real, healthy, and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to join us live, we hold services every Sunday at 9:30 and 11:05 a.m. at 1 Stonebridge Church Drive in the Woodlands, Texas. We invite you to check our website out at gostonebridge.com and follow us on Twitter, where our handle is at SB Church, and give us a like on Facebook at facebook.com/gostonebridge. This week, Pastor Steve Bradley teaches from our new series, Lead Like Jesus. Here's Pastor Steve.
All right, good morning. We're finishing this series called Lead Like Jesus. I am impressed that you're here. I'm glad that you're here. I thought about not coming this morning myself. And my wife then told me I had to come. I said, where does it say that? Well, you know, I'm glad to be here. This is a lot of fun for me doing a topic like this. And I just go ahead and warn you ahead of time. As I've been working on finishing this up this week, I came up with three more messages. And so we might be here a while, but it's raining outside. You've got nowhere to go. They've blocked off the streets. Just to let you know, we're gonna move actually pretty quickly as we sort of summarize and take a look, as we've been taking a look at, what does it mean, or how does Jesus teach us about leadership? And I want to jump into maybe the passage, if you've been around church a lot, that you thought, I thought you'd go here right away. And that is, what about a servant leader? Isn't servant leadership, in that idea of servant leadership, isn't that a contradiction? Think about it for a minute. Doesn't that sound like, wait a minute, a servant and a leader, aren't those two different things? In fact, that's one of the questions in your outline to start off with. Isn't serving and leading two different things? Aren't they two different things? I would say yes, they are. They're two different things. The person who serves, you know, they serve someone else, they take on a task, and the person who leads, you know, it's different in how they, you know, decide to point a direction and to do things. And then you say, well, then why does the Bible talk about it, and especially why does Jesus go in and talk about being a servant leader? And I think he's doing that on purpose. He's bringing two ideas together that you and I might think are contradictions, but he brings them together for a reason. And if you take a look at it, and if you really take a hard look at it, it makes a lot of sense. It's a very, very deep kind of idea that you have to go through. The reason I say it's not easy is years and years ago, there's a guy that I worked with that was putting together a program. He led out in the program. He did a great job. He recruited other people. He inspired people. He put forth a vision for what they were going to do and how they were going to influence parents and kids. And after putting this together, and it was going really, really well, he came and met with me, and he said, we have to cancel it. And I said, why would we cancel it? He said, well, there's someone in the church that doesn't like it. And I said, okay, so you're telling me that one person in the whole group can say, I don't like it, and therefore, as successful as it's been, as much influence as it's having, we have to stop the program. He said, well, yeah, that's, and then he told me, he said, see, I believe in being a servant leader. Now, so here's what I did. And I'll go ahead and ask you this too, because I think it's worth taking a look at. What in the world does that mean to you? And that's what I asked him. So what does that mean to you? Well, he says, what that means is I go out and I ask people, you know, what they want to do, and they tell me, you know, what they want to do, and then, you know, I do that. And I said, so all of these people said, man, this is great, we're with you, you're leading them, but now one person says, don't do that, and you're going to shut it down, so they're leading the programs, what you're telling me. They're now the leader of the whole thing. And he said, well, it's just, you know, that's what the Bible says, and that's what I, you know. And it's one of those difficult things, working with someone, going through it. I did not tell him this, just going to let you know that, you know, I didn't want to be overly harsh or whatever, but here's what I was thinking. I was thinking, this is not about servant leadership. This is about cowardly leadership. That's what it is. You will always have those who don't agree with you. There will always be people who say, I don't think you're doing the right thing. I don't think you're leading in the right direction. If you are a parent, right? You understand this, right? Did your kids agree with everything you've ever told them to do or direct them or whatever? If I let my my son decide what we're going to do, he would have finished the first grade. Period. That would have been it. Because he told me, I don't need to go to school anymore. I'm not going to school anymore. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Why not? I know everything I need to know. That was, see, you know, from a six-year-old, sure he does, you know. But you know, and this is what a leader does, you know there's more. And that's what it means to lead. Now, the question is, as you lead, who do you serve? What do you serve? Because most of us tend to serve our own desires or our own wants. In fact, we live in a culture, and it absolutely makes sense. When you live in a secular culture that only looks at the culture itself and the world itself, this is what the secular culture is going to say. Live for your own desires, your own direction, your own lead, because it makes sense that that sounds like that's going to be the best thing for you and that's going to be the most fulfilling thing for you. I'm hoping that you have caught something different and you realize, you know, it's a whole lot deeper than that. You know, if I just follow my own desires and whatever, if I followed my own desires, just let you know, I'd weigh about 800 pounds and I would be permanently affixed to my chair in front of the TV, you know, watching football. But my wife won't let me get away with that. And so, you know, we don't always do the things that are the very best things for us. But we always do serve some kind of idea, even with our leadership. And someone, it's the old Bob Dylan song, right? Remember the old Bob Dylan song? It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you gotta serve somebody. That's right. You know, that's it. It's true. Oh yeah, that's right. I've worked on that one. I can do Bob Dylan. Yeah, okay. Grew up in that era. So we all serve somebody. Here's the question. In fact, I think these would be really three good questions for you to ask yourself. And let me go ahead and say, everyone in here, God made you to be a leader. It's just the problem is we tend to think of leaders only as, you know, running a company or, you know, holding office or something like that. But that's not true. Leadership is a part of who we are. Leadership is influence. That means someone's watching what you do. So you are influencing someone by the things that you do, whether you are intentional or not intentional, you are influencing someone. And someone's going to follow your lead. They're going to say, oh, that's what I should do. Ooh, that's how I should act. All of us become leaders just at different degrees and at different places that God has called you to lead. And part of leadership is you have to make some decisions and you have to decide how you're going to lead. And it's part of the servant part. Who you're going to follow or what you're going to follow. That's just the way you have to make that decision. I used to do this I work with single adults all the time. I used to do this with single adults. I said, say God gave you $1 million, right? Everybody, anybody game? Okay, everybody, you know. God gave, and you knew God gave you $1 million. This is a gift from God because it came down out of heaven at church and boom, you know, right there. And this is a gift from God. And then someone would say, "Is did God give you this?" They're going to base whether or not they think God gave you that based on how you use the $1 million, right? Because if you go out and you take the $1 million and you live it on wild, riotous living, you know, and do all the things that you know better, but you just chase every whim and, you know, feeling and everything you have, and you just, then people will look at you and say, that wasn't God's money, that was the devil's money, right? And it had nothing to do with whether or not God gave you those things, it's how you use those things. God has gifted you. God has placed you in positions of influence and leadership. He has. You just may not realize it yet. And so what you have to do is you have to answer one day, okay, God, how am I going to use what you've given me and the opportunity? Because God is absolutely interested in teaching you and showing you. That's why we follow Jesus. He's not just our Savior. He's also our leader, our King. And we say, okay, teach us how to use our lives. Teach me how to use my influence. Teach me right now. And part of the problem as people is we tend to say, well, I would be a good leader if I, you know, or if I had what they, you know, or if God, if you just, you know, then, but see, God is interested in saying, okay, but right where you are with what you have, with the influence that I've given you, you know, what are you going to do? And here's three questions I think that you should ask, every leader should ask. Here we go. If someone follows my lead, if I'm the one that influences them, where would they end up? Because that's the key. If they follow my lead, if they do the things that I'm showing them to do, where are they going to end up? I did this at the first service, so I know this is may shock you a little bit, but let me ask you this one question. Was Adolf Hitler a good leader? Yeah, it happened here also. I love it. Y'all don't get to see what I see. People are like, was Adolf Hitler a good leader? Did he just say that in church, you know, use that name? I mean, you know, was Adolf Hitler a good leader? I know it got your attention. That's why I did it. Yes. Somebody says effective leader. See, I would tell you Adolf Hitler was a great leader as far as his effectiveness, as far as his skills, as far as what he did. But Adolf Hitler was not a good leader because he did not lead people into a good place. Those who followed him regretted following him. Now, for years, man, they were happy about following him. For years, a lot of people misunderstand what happened with Germany. Man, they were excited. He made them prosperous again. Their economy went way up. Their sense of control and power are going to rule the world. Man, the German people, and let me tell you, don't be mistaken, because it's in history. The German people followed him willingly because they loved what he delivered, and they intentionally had to try to ignore some of the things that they did not like, that you wish they would have caught onto, led them in a really, really bad way to a really, really bad place. Great in his skills, he was bad in his leadership. Second question you should ask yourself, not only where are they going to end up, but who or what will they see? I think that's key. If they follow my leadership, who are they going to see? What will they see? You know, one of the things about Jesus is Jesus said, follow me and you know where I'm going to take you? To be with the Father. You're going to see God. You're going to see everything that you always wanted to see. If someone were to follow your leadership, the things that you say, this is what you do, this is how you do it, your influence, who or what will they see in life? And then finally, I think this is a really good one too. The third one is, what kind of person would they then become? Because that's all about, you know, where they're going and who they're going to see, you know, because leading someone is all about you're helping to develop their character. You're helping to develop their goodness as it disappears from the screen. It's there. You're helping to develop this in their life. And I think it becomes really paramount for you to understand this. You know, this is not in your outline. Just to tell you, since it's a rainy day, I'm going off course just for 1 second, but for the last 2 or 3 months, I've been reading the Beatitudes over and over again, because I think if you actually look at the things that Jesus taught. And the Beatitudes was this really, really long sermon that Jesus had, and we have it completely in Matthew's gospel. I think that you'll see Jesus taught a lot about leadership. And if you want to be a good leader, mom, dad, business person, you know, football player, you know, teacher, you know, your student, whatever you're doing, if you want to be a really good leader, read the Beatitudes and look for the things that Jesus talks about and how they affect your leadership skills and your leadership, because that's what he talks about. This is what life is all about. So, you know, it's the blessed passage, right? You know, that we talked about that says about prosperity and about influence, and that I think that's what exactly it's about. This is what he says down in verse 16, if you know this. He just said about, you know, you're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world. And then in 16, he says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. And if you were to stop there, you'd say, yeah, that's right. I need to go out there and show them how good I am and how powerful I am. And if you were to stop there, you would say, okay. But he doesn't just say that they may see your good works. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and may glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now see, that's the key. That they may see your good works and they may glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's the service part, the servant part of it. It's not just influencing, but it's also who are you influencing for and why you're influencing. And then I'm just going to go through quickly a couple of things with you here. Man, there's so much. In chapter number 6, the very first verse in chapter number 6, he says this, beware of practicing your righteousness before men. And my comment on here, this is a new Bible that I have, so I have brand new notes, is, wait a minute. Didn't you just say, you know, practice your good works before men? Then he says, but beware of practicing your good works before men. And see, it's again the reasoning. One is to show who your Father is, glorify. This is so that you will be praised by them. Because he says, here's the problem. When you do your good works before men so you'll be praised by him, you already got your reward. You already arrived where you're going. That's it. Boom. Over. You just sacrifice the whole thing. And he goes through all these things about your motive and who you serve as he goes down through this. And unfortunately, I can't go through all of them, and I'd like to, but he says about, you know, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth, store treasures in heaven. That's absolutely part of that. He says in verse 24, you can't serve two masters. You can't. You know, it's just the way it is. You can try, but it won't work that way. And he goes on and says, in everything in the next chapter, treat people the same way you would like them to treat you. It's all about leadership. You know, how would you like to influence them? And then he goes and say, you know, beware the Pharisees. And who they are. He says, and you will know them by their fruit. And man, I made a lot of notes there. I'm like, their fruit, what does he mean? And he says this, a good tree cannot produce bad fruit. A bad tree cannot produce what? Yeah. Because out of who they are, it's really out of who they serve and who they follow, they will lead. That's what he's saying. And then it goes on to say at the very end of the chapter, I love this part. He goes, it says, the people, as they listened to him, this is the end of his sermon, they were amazed at Jesus. This is because he spoke as one who had authority, not as the chief priests, the Pharisees, the religious leaders. Now, what does that mean? That he spoke as someone who had authority. I think it meant that it resonated with them, deep inside of them. If someone came up to you and they taught you and said, you know, chase your desires, fulfill, you know, be true to yourself and all that, that would resonate with you. Make a lot of money. You know, be popular for the sake of yourself. You know, live for yourself. That would resonate with you to some extent. But every one of us deep down in our core, even though we'd like to hear that, would say, but there's something there that just seems. And if you ever have gotten around a group of people that's what they live for, you know, you're like, oh man, this is a tough place to survive because everybody's out for themselves and it gets really, really difficult. And this has been the history as groups chase their own desires and their own feelings and everything. This is the way it goes. It starts out great and it ends up in a really bad place. But Jesus is going deep. And Jesus is saying, listen, do good things, but here's why you do them. And that the depth of what he is saying as they listen to this entire message and they hear what he says as they're listening to it, and it all starts to work together and they're like, man, this guy knows what he's talking about. This is the way you could live your life. This is the way you could influence and lead other people. This way would really benefit. This would really matter. This would really do something. Not just for you, it would do something for someone else. You know, I told you last week that the interesting thing about learning about Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A, is he loved the art of the deal. And the art of the deal was not just a win for him. Always the art of the deal was a win for me and the person that I'm doing the deal with. That's the way he saw it. That's the way he understood it. And there was something about that for him that just rang true. Not, I made a lot of money, I became successful, and it destroyed you, or you became poor. That's not the way he saw it at all. He saw it as, man, this could work for both. And he worked at that end, at that goal. See, that's influence. That's leadership. Let me take you to a passage real quick. Let me set it up. This is in Matthew chapter 20. This one will appear on the screen, but you can look in your Bibles if you'd like to. Matthew 20, Jesus is talking about the kingdom at the end. And he gives this illustration of a landowner and says, here's the kingdom is like this. A landowner goes out. He needs laborers in the fields, in his vineyards. And so at the beginning of the day, he hires some laborers to come, and he agrees on a price. In their day, a denarius was a typical day's wage for a laborer. So they agree on a denarius and a day's wage. And then he comes back out, it says at 9 o'clock in the morning, and there's some more people standing there. And he says, hey, you know, you guys need to go out and work in the fields also. You want to work? They said, yeah, we sure do. And he said, okay, go out and work in my fields. At the end of the day, we'll figure out a fair price to pay you. And then he comes back out, it says at noon, and there's some more people. He does the same thing. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it says he does the same thing. It says, we'll figure out a price. Then it says at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, these are the guys who've been sleeping all night because they had prom, you know, the night before, and I mean, they've been sleeping all day, and it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and I like it because this is why it's so real. The landowner comes out and says, "What in the world are you guys doing here now? You've wasted the whole day. At least go work, you know, till sundown." And so he does the same thing. He puts them to work, and then he gets his paymaster, his foreman, and he says, "I want you to pay them." And this is what he says. It's really interesting. "Start with the last. They are going to be the first to be paid." And so he calls them in, you know, and then he calls up the ones who only worked a couple hours till sundown, and he pays them a day's wage, a denarius. Wow. Only worked a couple hours. And then the next group, you know, that started work at 3, and he pays them a day's wage. Then the noon group, and then the 9 group. And he gets all the way down to the original group that he had agreed upon a price with. And they're getting ready to get paid, and they're all excited because they think he's going to pay us more, right? Because it's only fair from our viewpoint that even though we agreed on this price, that he would pay us more because he paid everybody else a day's wage. We worked the entire day, and he pays them a day's wage, and it says, man, they were ticked off. They were mad because they wanted and expected more because in their view, this would be fair. And this is what he says, and Jesus uses this as the kingdom. He says, the landowner said, "Do I not have a right to do with my own stuff what I choose, to pay what I choose?" He said, "You are getting the payment that was agreed upon. And if I choose to pay someone else a different amount, is that not my right with my stuff?" And I love this verse. You should, it's a good one to memorize. He says, "Is your eye envious because I am generous?" In the Greek, it literally, this is the way it reads. "Is your eye evil because I am good?" But that's a good translation. "Is your eye envious because I am generous, because I am good?" See, it's a good question. We tend to look at it from our perspective. Me, my, it's not fair. Someone needs to come straighten this out. Where he is saying, listen, are you going to be upset and you're going to be mad because God is a generous God? Because God is a good God? Did you not get what he promised? Of course you did. God always delivers on his promises. Why would you be mad and why would you be upset if God has decided to be generous and good with other people? Now, I know you think, what does that have to do with leadership? It has everything to do with leadership and who you serve and who you follow and what he's like and the influence that he has. Then Jesus gives them a quick statement. He says, we're going to Jerusalem. And what's going to happen to Jerusalem is I'm going to be turned over. The Jews are going to turn me over to the Gentiles. They're going to falsely accuse me. They're going to crucify me. And I'm going to be raised in 3 days. So pretty sad statement as they're going to Jerusalem. And then this story happens. This is just too good. Listen to this. The mother of James, this is in verse number 20. The mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, these are the sons of thunder, two of the closest people to Jesus next to John, came to Jesus with her son. So Jewish mother, she brings her son, all the disciples are there, but she brings them up to him, and she knelt respectfully to ask a favor. "What is your request?" Jesus asked, and here's her request. "In your kingdom, please let my two sons," this was before my three sons, this is the my two sons story, "please let my two sons sit in," say it with me, "in places of," hey moms, wouldn't you do this for your boys? Come on, moms, would you do this for your kids? Sure you would. You care about your kids. I think it's really interesting, you read this story, Jesus does not ever chastise her. He doesn't say, "What is wrong with you, woman?" You know, he didn't go after her because he understands, humanly, this is what you do. Humanly, you're looking out for your kids. You want the best for your kids. Of course you are. Of course you do. Give them places of honor next to you. One on your right and the other on your left. And it goes on to say, but Jesus answered by saying to them, "You don't know what you're asking. You have no idea what you're requesting. Are you able to drink of the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink?" And here are James and John. This is their reply. Oh, yes, we're able. They're going, oh, yeah, we can do it, you know. And Jesus is like, you don't know what you're talking about. You have no idea what it means to occupy these places and what this is all about. Next verse goes on to say, so Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup. But I have no right to say who will sit on my right or on my left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. So far, Jesus hasn't chastised anybody, but he's kind of set them straight, but he's let go of a mom. But it didn't work out that way with the other 10 who are around, right? When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. Now, let me tell you, in the Greek, I know I'm doing a lot of Greek lessons. In the Greek, the reason it's translated indignant is because you can't put those things in the Bible, the real translation. Just want to let you know, they were really royally to the nth degree in ways that we can't express, ticked off. I mean, they were mad, right? These are two of their buddies. And two of the buddies are doing the, hey, early bird gets a worm. Didn't the Bible say, you have not because you ask not? You know, I mean, they're jumping at it and they're saying, man, we're going to be aggressive. We're going after it because even though it's their mom doing it, listen, they were a part of it. they're just playing the little bit of game at, well, we didn't really ask, our mom asked, you know, but are you going to do it? You know, that, I mean, that, right? And they are mad. I mean, of all the things, I cannot believe, this is human, isn't it? And we are ticked off. They're ticked off just the same way the workers who came in at first were. You mean these guys are going to get in the front of the line because of this? And then they are really happy when he says, I can't do it. But you're going to suffer. And they're like, yeah, they should, right? That's the way they're thinking. Man, get them. Let them have it for asking something like this. Now here we go. This is the part you probably heard before. You probably didn't hear all this, but you need to. This is the part you hadn't heard before. Jesus called them together and said, you know, you understand something, that the rulers in this world lord it over their people. That's the way it works. That's the way the world operates. That's secular. They are in power. They're going to rule over their people. And officials, that means those who are in places of position, officials flaunt their authority over those under them. That's the way it works in this world. But he goes on to say, but among you it will be different. What a great opportunity to talk about this, isn't it? They're mad. James and John are like, didn't work out quite that well, you know. Their mom has kind of walked off to the side now saying, maybe I shouldn't have stepped in. I mean, what a great opportunity for Jesus to teach them the heart and the depths of where leadership comes from, or where it should come from. It's going to be different with you. Whoever wants to be the leader among you must be your, say it with me, must be your, let me say it again. Whoever wants to be the leader among you must be your, and whoever wants to be first among you must be your, wow. In the Greek, this word for servant, really, I know it's translated servant, it really means servant. And in the Greek, this word for slave, I know this word is translated, but it really means slave. That's exactly what they mean. This is the word, in fact, it's interesting, the word for servant is the word diakonos, which means deacon. Seen those in the church? It's supposed to be servants. That's what it means. They're there serving, doing things for other people. And a slave, thank goodness we didn't use a doulos as any, you know, designated title for anyone. And these are very common words. There was nothing special about it. Even when they talk about deacons in the church, they are saying, and the servants in the church, that's what it was. We turned it into some title with a capital letter and all that, but this is what it was. This is just how they referred to it. But it was a way that they understood what they did. And the way that they understood what influence was really all about. A servant did not do his own bidding. A servant did the bidding of the one that he served, of the master, the one he was called to serve. A slave, he uses this word because a slave had no ownership over his own life. He was owned by somebody else. And this is someone that understands, my life is wrapped up in who he is. It's a totally different understanding. He says, doesn't work that way in the world, but this is the way it's going to work with you guys. You need to catch and understand. And then he adds this last part, which really makes it powerful. He goes on to say, for even the Son of Man, that's a term that Jesus used for himself, Son of Man, did not come to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. One last Greek word. You know what, in the Greek, you know what the word many means? A lot of people. That's what it means, right? You're right. A lot of people. This is why he came. So this is the king of the universe who comes to the earth not to be served. He could have. He could have demanded. But he has come as a leader, as a king, and yes, eventually as a ruler to lead us to a different place, a different understanding of what leadership really means and why God gives you position, why God gives you influence. Whatever the position and influence is, the whole point of it is so that God could use you and so that God could work through you and you could lead somebody to a better place and you could say, listen, follow me, and you, this is what you will see. You will see the kingdom. You will see Christ himself. You know, follow this leadership and you will become the person that you really said, man, there's something about being that person that it speaks to my life. It speaks that this is right. This is the way that it should be. Even though it may not be the way the rest of the world lives, the way the rest of the world goes, this is the way that it should be. Totally frees us up. Let me give you 6 points as we close this morning. How can you spot someone who has learned what it really means to be a servant leader? And I think this has to do with what Jesus is saying when he says, don't follow the Pharisees, you'll know them by their fruit. Okay, so here we go. What would be the fruit, or how would you spot somebody who has learned to be a servant leader, as Jesus tries to teach? First thing is, they show great honor and affection for the one they serve. Absolutely. How could they not? This is the one that I serve. And you know, so they honor him with their life. There's this tremendous affection because in this case, they know who has rescued them, who has given them life. Number two, second thing is they work for his kingdom. So even though they do a job, even though they may work, you know, in this world, even though they, you know, pay their bills and they have to make a living, there's still something about them that says, but they're working for something even bigger than just that, bigger than just themselves. Listen, if you only live your life for yourself, you're living your life for way too small a goal, way too small a family, and way too small a kingdom. God made you for bigger things than that. Than just yourself. They work for the kingdom. They understand. In fact, Jesus even said, can't two serve two masters, you know. Seek first the kingdom, his righteousness. That means, like I told you before, it's not just, you know, is it right? Where is it headed? That's what it means. His righteousness, where he wants to head. He said, you know, God will take care of the rest of it. Number three, they tend to do things his way. Of course they do. They have great honor for him, great affection for him. They're working for his kingdom. So they have a tendency to say, this is the way he did it, so, you know, this is the way I will do it. They are incredibly influenced and led by what he does because that's who they love and that's who they honor, that's who they serve. So they tend to do things his way. The fourth thing is they care about what he cares about. See, here's the question. If you're going to follow Jesus Christ, will you serve people? Of course you will. Remember, Jesus didn't come to be served, but to what? Serve and to give his life a ransom for. Yeah, so you tend to do the same things because, you know, well, this is the one that, you know, that I follow. So, you know, what he cares about is it influences heavily, you know, now what I care about, you know, because I had my own desires, my own cares, but now I've taken on these that have to do with him. And the fifth thing is they remember and they hold dearly to his words. I don't know that I've ever been around any real leader that is a follower of Christ. I mean, that really has influence, that doesn't hold dearly to his words. Because I don't know how it should know what he would want or what he calls us to. See, when you know, the leaders that have influenced me, are you this way? I can quote from my dad. I can quote from my mom. I can quote from Mr. Sam, who was an older man that taught us how to work because it was my dad's idea. Son, you got to learn to work, you know. And there's this guy, he knows more. My dad would tell me, it's one of my quotes. He knows more than, you know, most people have ever learned in their life and about what real work is and what really matters. So I had to go work for Mr. Sam. And Mr. Sam, you know, but he influences. He taught us. He taught us a lot of things, man. He taught us about the integrity of people. He was one of those guys that said, listen, a contract, a piece of paper, the problem is you can have a contract and piece of paper, he said, but it won't stop a wicked man, a crooked man from doing the wrong thing. He said, if you think it will, he said, you better learn about the man. And he said, that's why, yeah, I have contracts and all, but I work mostly on a handshake, which means I've gotten to know you and I've decided you're an honorable person and you're worth working with and doing stuff with. Otherwise, I'm not trusting a piece of paper is going to hold you to the truth when I know you're not going to hold to the truth. I mean, he taught a lot of stuff about life and a lot of stuff about, and you know, I quote all the time, you didn't even know that, from Dr. Ed Young at Second Baptist Church, because I knew him for 20 years, you know, and worked for him for so long. And so I quote all the time. I just tell you that's what I said, but it's really his, you know. It's all right. He stole it from somebody else, or he learned it from somebody else, right? And you quote language and you hold to words because you're like, this is powerful stuff. This is stuff that really, really matters. So if you're going to be influenced, you're going to be a servant leader by Christ himself, you hold to his words. You say, man, these are dear to me. You hold to the things that God has said because it's in those things that you get direction and you get clarity, because you go out in the world, you get confused. And all of a sudden these things, man, they help focus you and they help, you know, this is what matters. And then number six, finally, they love to be around their king. They do. Because their king changed everything. The king is the whole reason that they have purpose and meaning and they move forward. And the life of their king is the reason that they go through hardships and difficult times. You know, just like Jesus promised James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Yeah. But because of him, I can go through these things. He went through these things. And they have a love and an affection for their king that just comes out of life. It's why on Sunday morning, have you noticed the overwhelming theme of what we sing about is our love for the king? Sure. And it's not just because there's a, you know, you go to school and they tell you, you must do this, or we have a book that says, you know, it's because that's what we want to sing about. That's what we want to talk about. That's been the major influence in our life. Here's the good news. It can be the major influence in your life. And you can influence other people that becomes the major influence in their life. I don't mean that you beat them or hammer them. You know, there's something that comes out of you that they realize, wow, where'd they get this from? And what they say and what they hold to, there's some authority about what they say. And there's something that rings true in their words and in what they share. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. And you built us for more than just our lives and just what we have and what we go through. You built us to influence others. And it was your idea that we would be in situations, whether in a family, a neighborhood, a school, at work, but our lives would have influence over others, that our lives would help direct them in a certain way. So Father, we realize that in order to influence them in a good way and to have a confidence that we can really make a difference in somebody's life, we have to follow you and know that your ways will become our ways. So we ask that you would teach us that even though we are messed up, make so many mistakes, we become so confused so many times in the world, Lord, we still ask that you would rescue us and you would rescue the direction of our lives and the way we lead other people, that it would be in a good way. If you're here this morning and you've never decided that Jesus Christ is going to be your king, you never decided that's the one that I'm going to follow, it is a decision that you have to make. And to realize that it's worth it. This morning you can say, Jesus, I thank you that you came to rescue me. Most of all, you came to rescue me from myself, chasing after just all the things that I want. And yet those things don't really give me what I want. So come and change my life. Forgive me my sins. Change my heart, because I can't change it. Lead me in the way that matters, that lasts. Give me a new spirit to give me life and to energize me. In Jesus' name I pray.